Well, that worship was beautiful. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being here. We pray, Lord, that your glory will move in this place. Would move in our hearts and transform us into your image, Lord. I want to bring you part one of a message today that I know God has been laying on my heart for a while. It's a message of love and hope, and I pray that it blesses you as much as it does me every time God whispers and reveals another element of it to me. The message is called Humility and Love, the Keys to Surrender. Today we're going to look at one of the keys to surrendering to God, and that is humility. Let's pray and ask God to give us revelation knowledge through his anointed and living words of Scripture. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for all that you are and all you have done to bring us into relationship and fellowship with you. Lord, give us spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear, and a soft heart of faith to receive what you want to reveal to us today. We ask not for more information to store away in our minds or forget, but revelation knowledge to impart to our spirit, which will transform our lives for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I read the other week that it's not enough to simply listen to a message. You must try to hear what God is saying to you. You may hear something totally different from what the person sitting next to you hears. Why? Because God is personalizing his message to you, which is why the Bible is called the Living Word. So listen out with your spiritual ears for what he is saying to you. I find it incredibly exciting to think that the God who made the universe and everything in it speaks personally to each one of us. So believing that he will indeed speak to us today, are you ready? Put up your hand if you like the thought of surrendering anything. No? Oh, one. We don't really, do we? We often think we're going to lose out or give up something that we might really want to keep. However, biblical surrender is totally different. Yes, we do have to give up something. At the cross, we give up our old lives of pride, sin, and death. Who, in all honesty, wants those? And in exchange, we receive by grace, through faith, a new life in Christ, full of the hope and promises of God. In this divine exchange, we are given a new heart, full of God's love and grace, and God's Holy Spirit, who empowers us to live this new life in his strength, together with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. I know that you will agree with me that this is a divine exchange of priceless worth. Nothing can compare with this gift of God that he so freely offers to us. But how does this all come about? By God's Holy Spirit. He is the one by whom the Father draws us, breathes on us, and makes us his children, and who baptizes us into the family of Christ. Then Jesus, as he promised, baptizes us with the Holy Spirit to empower us to live the life he calls us to as his witnesses. The Holy Spirit. Who is he? And what does he do? We talk about him, But do we really know him and have fellowship with him? He is a person just like the Father and the Son. Do we allow God through his Holy Spirit to make us malleable instruments of clay in the potter's hand, to mould us according to his will, his purposes, and his destiny for us? If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians 2. Verses 1 and 2 says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Those words, having the same love, are what we are going to talk about another time in part two. But then it goes on to say from verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Realizing and releasing that humility in our own lives is what we are going to talk about today, and I pray that it really helps us all. We need to come to the stark realization that God is the originator of everything we have in our lives, both naturally and spiritually. Naturally, in the air we breathe, the beat of our hearts, the earth that we live on, and the universe we live in. And spiritually, the Bible tells us that it takes God to know God, and the whole of the Godhead is involved in this knowing. John 6:65 says, it is the Father in his goodness who draws us to Jesus by his Spirit. Jesus declares in John 14:6 that he is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives birth to our spirit, as John 3:6 says. And he baptizes us into the body of Christ as children of God, as 1 Corinthians 12:13 says. It takes God to give us faith to believe. Hebrews 12:2 says Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Galatians 2:20, Paul declares, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 2:8 says, it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It takes God to worship God. Jesus says in John 4:23, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we can cry out, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6 says, because you are his sons, God sent his spirit, the spirit of his son, into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And as we know, that Aramaic word Abba is the closest we can get to the intimate term of daddy or papa. And this is God Almighty who made all things. It also takes God to make Jesus Lord of our lives. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, therefore I want you to know that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And it takes God to love God and to love one another. 1 John 4 verses 12 and 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. That's amazing. We can never take credit for the love we have and show to others. God loved us before we were even capable of loving him. And we love others because of his love living in us as a heartfelt response to what he has done in our lives. I hope I've started to set the foundation for the reason for our humility and surrender to God, as he is the only one who has the right to show us how to live and to speak into our lives because he made us. We must realize that of ourselves and apart from God, we can do nothing, as Jesus so beautifully puts it in the passage in John 15 about the vine and the branches and being united with him. He is our source and he is our life. So how do we go about this life of discovering who we are in Christ and drawing closer to him? Again, it's a work of God through his Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:17, God's word says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The present continuous tense of this means to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And how is this possible? We ask him. We are simply told in Luke 11:13 that if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But God wants us to desire this infilling, and Jesus is our provider. John 7:37 declares, Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those believed in him were later to receive. We all need to yield and surrender to God through the Holy Spirit. This is so foundational to our Christian life. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual or reasonable act of worship. And as it goes on to say, we cannot do this without humility and faith in him. Humility knows our deep need of God and submits fully to him. As we read, Philippians 2 said that Jesus was the epitome of humility. God came wrapped in human flesh in such an unexpectedly humble way that even his own didn't recognize him. Think about this. The creator of everything that has ever been made and ever will be made humbled himself in everything he did. He came solely to do the will of his Father. He only said what the Father said, and he only did what the Father did. And that's what he asks of us. He wants to align our will to his, so that he can work in and through us to perform his purposes on this earth. And we are called to demonstrate that same humility, so that when we speak in his name, it's like we are speaking the very words of God, with the character of God, as if God were making his requests known in and through us. And because of that humility, the word tells us that God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We know that his word tells us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Walking by submission requires faith and sacrifice, a deep knowing that God longs to communicate with us. God already knows everything there is to know about us. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. Do you?
No.
Some more than others. I didn't like to say that. No. No, you don't. But that's not the same as fellowshipping with us. That's not the same as fellowshipping with us. The fellowship that God seeks is deep and intimate. As an adopted member of God's family, we already have a father-child relationship. And we use that term a lot in Christian circles. We have a relationship with God. However, the familiar term for fellowship is the Greek word koinonia, which goes so much deeper. This is different. This fellowship is the enjoyment of such a relationship. This is so important. I'm going to say this again. This fellowship that God desires is the enjoyment of such a relationship. That's what our Heavenly Father is after. Do we want that too? I really want that. And I pray that we all do, so that we can really enjoy fellowshipping with God and with one another. Taking time just to be with God in the secret place of his presence by his Holy Spirit. Coming to him out of love, not duty. God wants you to want him and come to him freely. He asks only that you seek his face more than his hands and desire to be with him and get to know him. He wants to occupy the secret place of your heart. Think about that. That is so amazing. What an invitation from the King of the universe who made everything. How can we refuse him? God is always speaking to us, but are our ears always tuned in to hear what's on his heart? I know, and you will no doubt agree, that I especially need to listen more. And we all need to listen and to respond obediently to the leading of his Holy Spirit. Biblical hearing is listening to the word of God through his Spirit, applying his revelation knowledge and understanding to it, and then acting upon it in obedience. Only God has the blueprint, which is his perfect plan, and can see the whole picture. It takes humility on our part to recognize this and to walk in that knowledge in order to fulfill his divine plan. We can find so often that God confirms that prompting once we act on it. Don't be hard on yourself if you feel like you fail. There's no condemnation in Christ. Personally, I don't believe we do fail in God's kingdom unless we completely reject him, because he has such redemptive and restorative power that he can rescue any situation for his good and his glory. I'm sure when we look back, we've all had situations where this has happened and God has brought good out of some seeming disaster. My lovely mama and daddy were both diagnosed with cancer many years ago. However, we were privileged to lead my little mama to know Jesus a month before she was diagnosed. And God graciously gave her another 16 and a half years of life to enjoy with him. Just the word cancer would have killed her before, as she was an eternal worrier. And what were the first words out of her mouth when she found out? "Well, I'm not going to worry about it." That was unheard of before. And my lovely daddy, who after a cancer operation, on the day he was due out, had a stroke. But God used that whole situation and 5 years later brought him to salvation a month before he passed. I am forever grateful for God's goodness in my loved ones' lives and expect to see his promises working themselves out in all our lives and the lives of our loved ones. The power of God to redeem any situation is totally amazing. God is 100% trustworthy. Let's make it our labour to rest in him so we can get to know God intimately. It's not just about us knowing about him, but he also wants to know us just as we get to know one another. It would break my heart if God should ever say to me, "I never knew you." One of my favourite verses where Jesus shows his humility towards us is Matthew 11, 28 to 30, where he issues us an invitation to come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One event that so lovingly demonstrates the humility of God is when Jesus takes the place of a servant and washes his disciples' feet. Even the feet of the one who was about to betray him. I don't know about you, but that just totally undoes me. How can we not fully surrender to the one who loves us so very much? And in this beautiful act of love and humility, Jesus says to learn from him, then go and do likewise, demonstrating his humility in our lives, both towards God and one another. So as we come to the end of this message, hopefully we will also come to the end of ourselves. Let's be honest with God. What might be holding us back? Do we really want to know him more? Or are we just happy and comfortable the way we are? Are we accepting the invitation to be hungry and thirsty for him? Do we love him with our whole heart, more than anything or anyone else? Or are we harbouring an unconfessed idol, or even an idol we are unaware of in our lives? I had one that I wasn't even aware of. Lord, if that is the case, please reveal it to us. It is a fact that we can know God as much or as little as we want to. He is never holding back on us. His arms are always wide open, and his invitation never expires until we do. Will we surrender all to him? Only you can answer that. Let's reflect together on God's great love and humility towards us, and his earnest desire for us to seek him more. And then we'll finish off with a prayer from the Psalms that we can all say together. Let's pray and commit ourselves once again to our wonderful Lord and Saviour. Lord, in the silence of this moment, we want to bring to you our whole hearts, totally surrendered and yielded to your will, because we know this love for you extends beyond anything we can do to earn it or deserve it. Please give each one of us a revelation of your great love for us deep down in our hearts. The wonderful grace of God that you so freely lavish upon us, and the power of your Holy Spirit living in us, enabling us to give our lives wholeheartedly to you. Thank you, Lord, that you initiate this hunger and thirst in us, for us to respond to, in which you have set us free to love you and others. Help us, O Lord, to respond to the very cry of your heart, to come to you and be known by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Along with King David, we humbly use these words from Psalm 27 to dedicate ourselves afresh to you today, Lord, and to say them slowly together as a prayer from our hearts to yours. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Let's sing this worship song as a prayer and as a mark of our desire to humbly surrender all that we are and all that we hope to be to our wonderful Lord and Saviour.